So when you look at, you know, what a cyber insurance policy covers, you know, should systemic risk be excluded?
No, definitely not. Systemic risk, we believe, does not need to be excluded. Cyber is systemic in nature, and that's okay. That's fine. It seems everyone, including insurers, understood it as such when cyber insurance started. What might have to be addressed, perhaps, is catastrophic events. Mm-hmm. And those that are so big that the insurance industry cannot absorb. It's not tolerable to absorb. But if you exclude systemic risk, you're really excluding cyber as a whole.
Do you want to hear about the latest developments in the cyber market and learn best practices and thought leadership from cyber insurance and security experts? We talk all things cyber insurance industry, international growth, cyber claims, and more. Welcome to the Cybersecurity and Insurance Leaders Podcast.
Good afternoon, Pablo. It's great to see you, and pleasure having you on the show. I wanted to have you start with just a quick introduction of yourself, your company, and what you do.
Perfect. Well, thanks, Andrew. First of all, I'm Pablo Constella, and I'm the head of cyber claims and products for Europe at Mars. So I provide strategy around claims management, wordings, etc., for our brokers and clients.
Okay, great. And just kind of speaking about clients, then, what kind of clients are you really focused on? What size? What sector?
So we work with clients in various industries, from financial institutions to manufacturing, healthcare. So it's quite varied, the type of clients that we have, and also the size, from small corporate clients, even SMEs, to the largest organizations in the world, particularly in this case in Europe. Oil industry, auto manufacturers, the biggest banks. So very, very broad industries.
Okay. Interesting. I guess, you know, I often like to ask people what their company's strength is in cyber. But let me slightly adjust the question if you want. So, you know, what would you consider either your company's strength in cyber or your team? You can pick either one or both.
I'd say the company, perhaps.
Okay, great.
And I think Mars is... it's very strong in cyber at the moment. We have cyber specialists from in the various divisions, from various backgrounds, starting from IT consultants to cyber brokers, IT engineers, wordings specialists who really know about the cyber coverage and can provide cyber coverage advice to our clients, claims specialists who have been handling cyber claims for many years now. And incident management colleagues who have at previous companies handled various incidents from minute one since the company suffered the cyber incident. So pulling together all that talent has been done quite very well at Mars. So we have different pillars that can provide the best cyber advice and consultancy to our clients.
It is interesting the number of people that I know at Marsh and that are all in kind of complementary areas. You definitely have a lot of capability there. So yeah, I guess let me, so that's sort of the intro. Those are kind of some of the questions I'd like, you know, just to give people sort of a feeling for who you are, where you come from company-wise. Do you think there's anything else, you know, we would want to add before I jump into the sort of thought leadership stuff?
No, I think we can jump into it here straight away.
Cool. Okay. All right. So the first question I wanted to ask you, I think it's really interesting, you know, talking to you because we're really focused on Europe. And I think the cyber insurance market's so much younger here. There's a lot of history that's happened over not that long a time, you know. So, pre-2018, let's say, before GDPR, we'd often see, you know, I'd always hear people talking about data protection laws, you know, okay, GDPR is coming, that's what the insurance is all about. I think you're in an interesting position because you're on the claim side. So you really see what's coming in, at a really, pretty good scale being in such a large company. So the question is, what has your experience been on the claim side? Like, what have you been seeing in terms of what's coming in?
Right. I think some people have been thinking of cyber insurance as insurance against data protection liabilities mainly. So focusing on liability and the first party response side. And as you said, Anthony, GDPR probably encouraged that thought, but cyber insurance is much more than that. The first party protection is really, really valuable. And we are seeing that value in most of our claims. In Europe, the majority of the claims we handle and we see are related to business interruption mainly. So not so much about data protection only. It's true that the class action directive is being implemented in some jurisdictions, hopefully most European jurisdictions, but it will take some time until it's ready in those jurisdictions and it is used by third parties. So to conclude, business interruption is the key area for us in Europe, and that's where we see most claims.
Okay. Yeah, it's it makes a lot of sense. I guess, 6-7 years ago, business interruption wasn't so common. People weren't seeing these big outages. So I think it's turned out probably differently than people thought it was going to, for sure. So I guess some other things kind of going on in the news that are interesting. There's been a lot of conversation about war. What is cyber war? What does that mean for insurance? So I think it's interesting to kind of get your opinion on that. But also maybe cyber terrorism. What are your thoughts on that? Is it important to worry about cyber terrorism? We haven't really seen a lot of it, but just on both of them, I guess, what are your thoughts?
Right. So cyber terrorism, if you think about it, was introduced at some point a few years ago. It created some confusion as to what is a state-sponsored attack, what it means, how the correlation with the state needs to be. And those are difficult questions to answer, of course. Probably during the last couple of years, insurers have been trying to define cyber war, as you mentioned. And for the years to come, the insurance industry probably needs to address these developments. However, cyber terrorism has been developed as a clarification to the war exclusion, whilst in the property market, it perhaps means something else. But if war is actually well-defined in a cyber policy, the war exclusion is well-defined and it's clear, the concept of cyber terrorism is probably not necessary, so we add less confusion to the policy. Okay. And in terms of cyber war, it's a hot topic at the moment, as you know. Mm-hmm. The LMA published the new war exclusions, and we are working with our clients around that.
What are your thoughts? I guess they've upgraded it, right? There is a newer version of the wording that just recently came out of the LMA wordings. Are you familiar with that?
Exactly. Yes, we are very familiar. We've joined global efforts to support our clients, trying to achieve better language. And that's what we are working on at the moment.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. It is a very hard problem, and it's people kind of go back and forth. But I think from my perspective, the policies, are meant to help clients. They're just not meant to cover really large, large scale, state to state, like full on, cyber war. It's not about excluding state-sponsored attacks, which are very common, right? And have been insured. There's a lot of state-sponsored attacks out there that have been covered by insurance. So I guess it's sort of funny thinking about war on talent after talking about cyber war or actual war. So maybe I should use a different phrase, but just in terms of finding expertise is hard in cyber. What are your thoughts on, the gap out there? What is the gap? How can we address it?
Right. And in terms of gap, I would say keep training talent in cyber and looking at cyber in the broadest sense from different angles, actually. incident management, liability, first party coverage, languages, cybersecurity experts, and even bearing in mind the international scope and diversity. Cyber is international, cyber is systemic per se. So looking at it in the broadest sense, I think it's very important. But definitely an area to develop is cyber business interruption, as we mentioned, expertise in there as we see the main area for claims. But innovation, Anthony, I think is key. For example, keeping an open mind to new concepts such as catastrophic cyber risk. We touched on it a little bit before. Cyber supply chain, as well as new methods of underwriting, cyber cat bonds, insurance linked securities, tech. So new ways of underwriting are also important. So as in other lines of business, definitely innovation.
Yeah, so I guess, out of some of those concepts, are there any in particular that you find interesting that you've really been thinking about lately, of the things you just talked about?
I found very interesting the recent publication or about one of the first cyber cat bonds. That leads to new capacity and more capacity into cyber insurance. That was much needed, as you said, with the war concepts, some coverage restrictions, ransomware, potential catastrophic events. It was very important to bring new capacity and appetite to the cyber market. So I found that super interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's neat to see, the market's certainly responding to the challenges and getting capacity and getting clever around handling some of these things. Let me shift gears a little bit and just kind of looking at, maybe coverage a little bit. So when you look at, what a cyber insurance policy covers, should systemic risk be excluded?
No, definitely not. Systemic risk, we believe, does not need to be excluded. Cyber is systemic in nature, and that's okay. That's fine. It seems everyone, including insurers, understood it as such when cyber insurance started. What might have to be addressed, perhaps, is catastrophic events. Mm-hmm. And those that are so big that the insurance industry cannot absorb. It's not tolerable to absorb. But if you exclude systemic risk, you're really excluding cyber as a whole. So we suggest insurers ask themselves, which part of cyber are we really worried about? Mm-hmm. And when we ask that to insurers, they tend to believe that that is catastrophic cyber risk. So those events that are so big that cannot be absorbed.
Are you familiar with, is there anything happening in Europe around kind of backstopping that at all? Have you heard of any kind of, because we've hear about like poolery in the UK, and should the government do a backstop for this kind of huge systemic risk, a catastrophic systemic risk? Are you familiar with anything else going on in Europe?
Nothing new, I think. No decision. Of course, there are various talks around the market, the industry, as to new solutions. But I don't think anything new has been implemented so far. Probably in the next couple of years, we'll see more innovation and more solutions around that. Insurers will spend perhaps more time in understanding that and finding new solutions, and perhaps government agencies will be involved.
Okay. Yeah. It I used to, years ago, I never understood why it was ever necessary. But now that I work in the industry, I can definitely see, why it's such a challenge for the governments to kind of think, all right, when do we step in or not? I kind of feel like there is a bit of a backstop. It just isn't being admitted. If there were ever something that would wipe an entire industry out, the government would have to step in. But, it's an opinion. It's an opinion. But I guess who knows what would happen. So I guess just talking about your team, and the work you're doing day to day, how do you measure it? How do you measure what you and your team do? What do you look at?
Right. For us, both in claims and product, it's very important to have KPIs, measure our work, achieve outcomes, etc., to help the business grow, of course, and help our clients achieve better results, both in terms of negotiations of coverage and also in terms of claim settlements. So first, to start with, in terms of claims, we measure those claims in which we are involved. Okay. Being involved in the right claim in terms of complexity, amount at stake, type of client and industry, coverage issues, location, languages, etc., is very important. And we consider the number of claims that we are able to help our clients with. And of course, the settlement outcome. For us, it's a priority, and mm-hmm. client feedback. So achieving a good settlement for all parties is key for us. And how a good settlement looks like probably depends on the client's priorities. So we have open conversations with our clients to understand what success in terms of a claim looks like at the very early stage. Also, on the product side, at Mars Cyber Europe, we have our own cyber wording, and we prefer to have agreements with insurers so that we can bespoke the wording considering our clients' requirements. We believe that appropriate proprietary wording is essential for Mars, as clear and simple language really benefits our clients. Actually, when a renewal or new business comes in, we have our wording ready for that client so that the brokers can use it as it's been agreed in advance. And it really and massively expedites the underwriting process, the placement. So probably not every clause needs to be negotiated, but it's been agreed with that particular insurer previously.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's sort of the speed of underwriting or speed of claims is pretty key, you know, at every stage. I guess if you're looking at cyber incidents, you know, what would you say makes the biggest difference to kind of reducing the impact to somebody, like reducing, you know, how bad it ends up being for them? What do you think is really helpful?
Right. So looking at the experience we've had, particularly during the last couple of years, we've learned that first, of course, encouraging prevention and also investing in both cybersecurity and cyber insurance is key. Mm-hmm. Secondly, appropriate assistance during the cyber crisis to contain the incident. Then clear coverage that doesn't lead to disputes or unnecessary delays. Fourthly, open dialogue or transparency.
Okay.
We really need to know what happened so that we can best advise our clients as to the steps to take. Transparency is essential. And finally, last but not least, expertise in claims management. Most people are still new to cyber, of course. Cyber is a recent line of business. So expertise is very important so that the consequences are minimized for all parties. And bringing both a first party and liability perspective into the claim, we believe it's useful to reach a better outcome.
Okay, so you're kind of saying, just to define that a little bit, so you're saying kind of expertise and understanding the cyber incident, how to help them, how to sort of deal with that side of it, as well as somebody kind of understanding the liability side, you know, both sides of it. Okay. Okay, great. Well, so I guess next question then, what would you say, you know, what's the most complex or difficult coverage issue in cyber that you've come across? You can say this in sort of a general way, like maybe something you've seen out kind of in the world. It doesn't need to be anything, you know, that you can't talk about.
So still, I find some challenges with respect to increased cost of working, extra expenses. So basically those extra expenses that the clients or insureds spend to minimize or avoid business interruption. Of course, extra hours, extra time spent by employees is clear. New rental premises is clear, but there are some new gray areas that are not specific, we haven't seen previously for particular clients. And it tends to be a challenge whether that was necessary and reasonable to spend or not. So that's been a challenge with some costs and the nature of it.
Yeah, I could see, you know, there being arguments, especially from the client side, where they feel that they needed to do something, but the insurer's saying, "Well, wait a minute, you know, I don't know if, I've definitely seen some interesting ones on that front. Sometimes it's hard to tell because at a very high theoretical level, you can kind of make these decisions, but you start to get into the details and you're like, well, you know, you don't want to come across like you're second guessing, but at the same time, you know, you can see some pretty hard to understand decisions or things you're not quite sure about. So just kind of, I guess we talked about your team and your company a little bit earlier. What would you say your team's biggest challenge on a day-to-day basis is?
I think managing time and resources in order to keep impressing our clients. As any other company, we have limited resources. So appropriate management of time and dedication to the right tasks, I think it's key. And bringing the right expertise from the right people, not reinventing the wheel. So if we have someone very good with a particular expertise in a particular location in relation to a particular industry, we would fight to bring him or her on board, definitely.
Yeah.
And also a challenge for us that we are converting to an opportunity is data. So gathering and managing cyber claims data is important. It's crucial for us to keep investing on it so that we can tell our clients more about cyber risk. Basically, our brokers, our clients really need cyber claims data to understand loss ratios, industries most impacted by cyber events, the losses that we are seeing, the amount at stake. So gathering that data and making the best use of it is really a challenge, but definitely an opportunity.
Yeah, I think claims data is very intriguing. You know, one of the things I liked when I started working with cyber insurance is, you know, coming from cybersecurity consultancy background originally, you know, it isn't always easy to kind of know what to focus on. You know, and you don't always really know the economic impact. Like there's models out there or you can kind of guess, you know, things you've seen. But like when I started seeing claims data and working with claims, it was super fascinating how you could just look at a really small number of things and say, let's just really hammer those because that's going to make a huge difference. Even if there's tons of other things you could do that would make a difference, you can really shrink it to a small number based on your claims data. So yeah, intriguing. I think it'll be, you know, the insurance industry, it's such a valuable thing to provide back into the world, you know, as the expertise gained from claims. Well, I guess, so going big picture again, what do you think is interesting going on kind of in the world, current events? I always love to ask current events questions. You know, what's interesting in cyber right now?
I think everything. We are in a fascinating moment in cyber, looking at catastrophic risk as we spoke, looking at cyber war, etc. Really, really interesting moments in cyber. But not just about catastrophic cyber risk, but I find very interesting as well, particularly supply chain. So cyber supply chain. I'm particularly working now on looking at a supply chain from different angles. So not just supply chain when, for example, an oil producer cannot supply oil because of a cyber attack on a company in the middle of a chain, for example, the ship owner that transports the oil, but also and particularly third-party service providers of technology. For example, in case of data centers, website builders, software programmers, what happens if one of those suffer a cyber attack? Then the companies that purchase that particularly IT equipment or technology might be impacted. So it can be really problematic. So looking at IT suppliers, it's interesting for me. Okay. Another example, looking at the concept of smart factories or smart houses, meaning those that are almost technologically efficient and sufficient. It needs to be ensured that all the mechanisms work well and that there is a good cybersecurity and hygiene within all the tools of the house or factory. So if something happens around that technology, mm-hmm. a cyber event, of course, it can be really problematic. So those concepts, I think, are very interesting.
So it's sort of all the Internet of Things deployment, you know, and it's you know, it's running houses, it's running factories. You know, what happens if, you know, one of those systems gets attacked?
So looking at cyber, how cyber behaves and in the technology space. So cyber risk and technology risk. How you combine both and where losses fall within. Is it a cyber risk or is it really a technology risk because of the client business?
Yeah, it is. It is definitely an interesting direction things are taking as it's kind of more and more integrated into everything else, you know, sort of starts shifting into cyber physical and you know, a lot more than just sort of your typical, you know, endpoint system or your, you know, normal office system being down. There's a lot more interesting things that could happen there. So yeah, I guess I, you know, some of the other things I like to talk to people about is their background. You know, I think it's been one of the interesting things running this show is I meet, you know, obviously I get a chance to meet a lot of people that I, you know, hadn't really spoken to before and get to know more about their backgrounds. So in your case, how did you get into this industry? How'd you end up in insurance?
Well, actually, I decided to move to the UK, having studied law and international relations in Spain, to pursue my LLM in insurance more than, I think, 10 years ago. It was amazing. And I really feel that I took definitely the right decision to work in insurance. I think qualifying as an English solicitor, as well as working full time, was very challenging, but really amazingly rewarding.
Was it the hours that you found really difficult or, you know, what was, or just because you were doing so much at once, or was there another element of qualifying that you thought was very hard?
Well, I think I was a civil law lawyer, so a lawyer qualified in a civil country, civil law country.
Right.
So common law is was slightly new to me. And then the competition for those exams is hard. So it was challenging. So not so much the time, but the content and the difficulty of the exams, I would say.
Yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense, sort of the shift in the legal systems. I couldn't imagine learning the legal system in a country that I didn't have the background, you know, like even living in the UK, sometimes I feel a little bit lost, you know, and it's like, I'm not coming from that far away, you know, and I've been here a long time. I've been in the UK 11 years. So it's, you know, sometimes there's just things you're like, what? Okay, that's different. I guess insurance. So, you know, we didn't really talk much about, you know, what is it that you really enjoy about insurance? What made you think, yes, this is the right direction to go?
I think perhaps looking at the future, so we need to foresee perhaps future events. I found that interesting, and the technical aspect, insurance can be creative and technical. So understanding the principles but applying it to future risks is fascinating to me. And the word connections and the different backgrounds of people that you see from lawyers, consultants, engineers, underwriters, brokers, very clever people from different backgrounds and countries, is fascinating to me.
Okay. Yeah, it's I guess you especially would get a lot of that coming to the UK and sort of working in the insurance market. It's definitely very very diverse. Well, so I guess just in terms of, you know, what would you recommend to someone? So if somebody came to you and said, I want to have a successful career in insurance, what would your advice be?
So I think preparing yourself on the technical aspects, if you're an actuary, of course, maths, etc. If you prefer a legal background, thorough preparation of the work you'll be doing. I think insurance is becoming more and more technical, so that technical ability is important, as well as commercial awareness. So an open mind to risks, definitely, because we are insuring risks.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think the ability to understand many aspects of insurance, the word connections, different personalities, risks and industries, being able to work for different industries, and having an open mind to deal with people from different backgrounds. Because in one day you might be working with people in the different continents with different backgrounds, accents, languages. So diversity and an open mind is very important as well. And I would say not to forget about the regulatory aspects. Insurance is a regulated industry. So having in mind what needs to be done, the compliance aspects is important as well.
I guess, you know, from my perspective, you know, just doing insurance in this part of the world, you know, leads it to a huge diversity in languages and different backgrounds. So I'm sure in your role, you see, you know, a tremendous amount of that. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Well, I guess, you know, yeah, one last question I guess I'd like to ask. Actually, no, you know what? I have a couple. Sorry, there's one I like to ask people. Sometimes they, you know, don't know if they want to answer it. So you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. But is there someone you think would be a good podcast guest? Like, if you don't want to name a specific person, it's okay. If you just want to say, like, what type of person do you think would be interesting to hear from on the podcast?
It would be great to hear more about word exclusions, actually.
Okay. You know, it's funny you mention that. I'm definitely working on it. You know, there's a few folks in London kind of working on this area, and it is an interesting area, definitely very emerging. So thanks for that. And so, yeah, now on to our last question, just like to ask, where should people get in touch with you? What do you sort of prefer? How do they get a hold of you?
Email, please. So of course, I'd be looking forward to hearing from anyone. On pablo.constella@mars.com.
Fantastic. Well, you know, it was a real pleasure chatting with you about cyber claims and your experience in cyber and all the things you've done. So thanks a lot for coming.
Great. Anthony, thank you very much for hosting. Pleasure.
The pleasure was all mine. Thanks.
If you want to learn more about our host Anthony or his company Acerius, visit acerius.com. ASCERIS.com. Thanks to our friends at Savoo for producing this episode with us. See you next time.